Welcome to Resurrection Camp Meeting 2021, live from Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, let's go live to Family Worship Center as this service begins.
I said it last night, and I want to say it once again this morning, that I am so grateful for this next generation coming up who is understanding, teaching, and preaching, and living the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm just grateful for these young men and young ladies, and especially the ones that helped me in Crossfire, Paris, Adam, Josh, and Joseph. Somebody commented last night when Joseph was out here, and they looked at Joseph, they looked at me, and they said this: I didn't realize that Gabe was that short. Well, in all honesty, everybody's tall compared to me. But I'm grateful for this young man, and I've seen God work in his life from the time that he was a teenager to now. And you want to talk about a dramatic change. And I'm telling you, he's not just preaching the message of the cross, he's living the message of the cross. Joseph, come out here and minister.
Come on, give God praise tonight. This morning, rather. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, you can do better than that this morning. There's one on the throne. His name is Jesus. And he deserves our praise. I want to thank the Swaggerts for the privilege of speaking this morning in the camp meeting. I want to salute my generals, because I wouldn't be here today on the battlefield for the Lord if it wasn't for them. Let's give them a hand for their faithfulness. At the turn of the 20th century, close there, somewhere in that time frame, a man named Mel Trotter was saved out of great drunkenness. The Lord used him in a mighty way. And somebody came to him and asked him, "Brother Mel, how do you know that you're saved?" He said, "1897, January the 19th, I was there when it happened." I said, "I was there when it happened." 1986. There was another man who was struggling with drugs and alcohol. His name is Lauren Larson, my father. But if you asked him today, "How do you know that you're saved?" he'd say, "1986, Mount Juliet, Tennessee. I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know." How many could say, "I was there when it happened"? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Kings. I have to tell you this. I need to salute my other general, Mary. My wife, you want to stand real quick? Well, she's pregnant with our fifth child, and she'll be delivering here pretty soon. But last night, the kids heard what I'd been preaching on today. Mary asked them as they were getting home, "If you were preaching on Elijah and Elisha, what would you preach about?" And Jane said, "I'd preach on the chariots of fire." And then she asked Jude, he's five now. He said, I'd preach on Haman the leopard. Haman the leopard. God still heals leopards, amen. And then she asked Silas, he's three, or no, he's four rather. He said, "I'd preach on David and Goliath." But I'm trying not to preach on David and Goliath this morning, but the spirit of Elijah. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What was he saying? He was saying the power of the nation is not in horses and chariots, but it's in men of God. And Elijah was leaving the true power, the true grace upon the nation. And it's still true today, church. The true power of any nation, the true blessing upon any nation is not found in the White House, the State House, or even just some church organization, but in men and women of God who know their God. And he cried. And Elisha, he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted here and there, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And I know we have a lot of people today that are looking for something new, but I want to remind you that what Elijah's generation had, Elisha's generation needs. We don't need something new. We need the same spirit that was upon the prophet, the same spirit that was upon the early church, the same spirit that was upon Jesus Christ. It needs to be upon the church today. And I want to preach a message entitled, The Spirit of Elijah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for your grace and your mercy to stand where I am today. And Lord, I don't take it lightly. Lord, anoint my lips to speak your word. Anoint the hearers to hear. And Lord, let the true teacher and preacher come, the Holy Spirit who knows all things. Let it search the hearts today. And let him build us up in the faith. I ask, Lord, that you would touch us all. And when we leave here this morning, we won't be the same as when we came in. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The spirit of Elijah was promised to come before the arrival of Jesus Christ. And it came in order to prepare God's people for his coming. And as I said last night, I'll say it again. The time of the Gentiles has almost come to an end. There's a whole lot of people going home. By the signs of the times, it won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. I know it, I feel it, I sense it. There's a whole lot of people going home. When King Jesus comes to live with us again. Hallelujah. He's coming back on a silver cloud from glory. But I believe that spirit of Elijah, it's coming upon the church and the world one more time. But I think there's some things we need to learn about the spirit of Elijah. And interestingly enough, we're going to learn it through the lens of the prophet Elisha, the one who walked with him, the one we see here finding him at the end of his road with Elijah, brokenhearted. Because you see, Elisha, there's no doubt he was groomed to take the place of Elijah when he was gone. But I'm not so sure that he ever thought in his mind he would do it alone. He would have to follow faithfully. He would have to pray. He would have to seek God. He would have to continue. He would have to go forward. He would have to make sure he didn't leave too early. He would have to make sure when the test to drop out, and move away came, that he would stay put where God placed him and planted him. Because there would come a day where his testimony would impact the children of God as his father's Elijah, as his father Elijah's did. But if Elisha were here today, what advice could he offer the man or woman of God as they face a similar age as in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, an age of spiritual decline? These two men of God were raised up by God in the time frame of the books of 1 and 2 Kings. It was one book originally, and it's a narrative that really, I'd have to be honest with you, it's a very sad narrative. Because you see, the books of 1 and 2 Kings, while they begin with the people of God rejoicing the victories that David had won, stretching the borders of the kingdom of Israel to its furthest extremities as outlined in the Abrahamic covenant. There they were enjoying the temple being built, the glory of that temple. Like none else, the priests in the temple, so blessed by the glory and power of God, they weren't even able to minister. But oh, how the mighty had fallen. For you see, what begins in 1 Kings as a time of rejoicing, as a time of blessing, ends in the book of 2 Kings with that temple being ransacked, the articles of the temple being taken out, the temple itself being destroyed, the kings being dethroned, and God's people, as I mentioned last night, they were taken out of their homeland and they were placed into a foreign land. And one of the first questions Elisha would have asked himself is, how did we get here? Maybe some of you watching today, you look at what's going on in our nation, you look at what's happening in the church world, and you ask yourself, how did we get here? We don't even know what sin is anymore. We don't know what to call it. It's a disease. It's a bad habit. It can't be sin. No, it's just an alternative choice. God has no alternative choices. And I will never understand why God allows us to fall. But he does. Some of you ask, why are we here today? We've been asking that ever since the fall in the garden. Why did God allow us to find ourselves in this place? Why did God allow David to do what he did, but yet step in after the fact to deal with him? We don't know, but he did. As in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, why did he allow the decline to happen? For Solomon to follow after strange women and lead him after strange gods. Why did he do it? Why did he allow the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel to separate so hastily, causing wars and divisions and strife for years to come? We don't know why, but God allows it. God's allowed some of you to veer off. No one made the choice but yourself. No one's to blame for sin but me, amen. No one's to blame for sin, but our choices are upon our shoulders. And God, many times, he doesn't stop us from turning aside and following down the wrong road. But the terrible reality of sin, listen to me, is the consequence. Think about it. Once Israel gave herself over to idolatry, she never again regained her autonomy. That's the terror of sin. That's the terror of wanting to be like the world. And I believe, and I hate to say it, but I believe the church is in that place today. We want to be like the world. We want to look like the world. We want to be hip, hot. We want to have style. We want to touch the young people. But I remind you, we need the same spirit that was upon the prophet Elijah. We don't need a new thing. We need to go back to the old paths. We need to ask for the rain again. We need to ask for the Holy Ghost again. We need the power of the cross. We need the power of the cross. It'll work. It'll always work. But once Israel gave herself over to idolatry, her desire to be like other nations, think about it, it cost Israel greatly. They'd constantly pay tribute, being taxed by foreign invaders. They'd come in and pillage the land that was rightfully theirs. That's what the world would do. Borrowing from the world will never leave you unscathed. But foreign invaders will pillage the land. Are you here today? They'll come in and ruin your walk with God. As he said in the Old Testament, he was fearful that the Gentile women of that day, they would turn the hearts of the sons of Israel away from God. And that's in fact what they did. And they will turn your heart from your God. It's still the same old message. Come out from the world and be ye separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you and I will be a father unto you. But not to mention, not only would foreign invaders come, but the land, think about our nation today, the land would literally swallow them up and spit them out. That's the terror of sin. That's what happens in an age of decline. That's what happens in a day where men's hearts are wandering from God. And I believe we're there today. I'm not saying it happily. I'm not saying it lightly. But we live in a day of spiritual decline. You say, how do you know? Well, I'll just tell you this one. Some of you are not going to like it. Now, some of you listen close. I've been telling older people what to do since I was in diapers, so you listen up. Some of you, oh, Jesus, help me. You will move all over the country to add a couple zeros to your paycheck. But you won't move 5 minutes for a good church. You still with me? And I know we're upset. Some of us, well, we boast about our conservatism, and I'm a conservative. Every Christian's a conservative. But the reality is, while we'll tout, while we'll holler at those who are committing abortion, and we don't degrade them or denigrate them. All sin is evil, even our own. But some of our families, our relationships with our kids are all but dead. The Bible says, raise them in the fear of the Lord. It's spiritual decline. Attack on the family. It's spiritual decline. It's an attack on the family, spiritual decline. We don't even know who our mothers and our fathers should be. I didn't come to say this, but I'll say it, because the Lord knows my generation needs to hear it. You God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And there are six things which the book of Romans chapter 1 describes, these heinous sexual acts which we are touting in America. The first is found in Romans 1 in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, number one. Through lust of their own hearts, to dishonor, number two, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Sexual immorality of every stripe is uncleanness, and it is dishonor to your own body. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up to, number three, vile affections. The Bible is not unclear about its stance on the sin of homosexuality. Pick up the book and read it, church. Vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that, number four, which was against nature. Number five, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is number, what number am I? I'm from Louisiana, so number five, which is unseemly. Number six, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. It's error. It's wrong. I shouldn't say this either. But we've got psychologists fighting for their rights more than the Christians' rights. You're the mentally ill one, not those. You're the crazy one. You like how they try to treat us and change the narrative? That anybody, see, here's the, this is the way they handle things. You're causing them to feel a little bit displaced. You're causing them to feel condemned. You're giving them a disorder. Public condemnation, and you should accept it. This is what we're being told in America, church. And I'm gonna get off of this, but we're in an age of spiritual decline. And there's only one answer. And Elisha wants to tell us today what that answer is. If he were here today, I can promise you he'd tell us one thing. Find an Elijah. There's only two things you can do in a time of spiritual decline. Take care of yourself and take care of the rest of the family. Take care of yourself and take care of the rest of the family. In Jude, verse 17 and verse 25, essentially, that's what I've come here to tell you. But in Jude chapter, there is no chapters, but verse 17 and through verse 25, I'll get it out here in a second. Turn with me, Jude. Verse 17. Anybody know where Jude is? But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. They're here. Mockers in the last time, walking after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved. Everyone look to your neighbor and say, you, beloved. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's it. Building up yourselves. In a time of decline, there's only one thing you really can do. That's take care of yourself and take care of the rest of the family. Where are you going with that? Well, I'll get there. But first of all, build yourself up. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. And I won't read it all, but essentially what Jude tells us is take care of yourself. And then he says, on others have compassion, being moved with fear, saving those who are spotted by the flesh. Take care of yourself. Look out for the rest of the family. It's a time of decline. What is he saying? He's telling you to follow faith. What do you do in a time of decline? You find Elijah. What did Elisha do in this time? And I know Elisha cast his mantle upon, or Elijah rather cast his mantle upon Elisha. But Elisha knew and knows, he would tell us today, in a time where men are going crazy, sin crazy, you've got to follow faith. You've got to find those who believe God. You've got to find a man who's been to Cherith and he's lived off the provision of God. You've got to find a man who knows what it means to live off the provision, who knows what it means to stand for the word of God and have the Jezebels and the Ahabs cut you off from every source in the world. The world is not my provision. The world is not my source. And Elijah knew it. But that's in fact what many churches have become. They're living off the provision of the world. And they don't know anything about being at Cherith, the place where God commanded the ravens to feed the prophet Elijah. Why did Elisha follow Elijah? Because he had been to Cherith. You need to find a church that's been to Cherith. You need to find a godly believer that's been to Cherith. That when the going gets tough, you know God has a way of providing. You know God has a way of sending, commanding the ravens to feed you. Find an Elijah. Follow faith. Build yourselves up. Believe. He'd also been to Carmel. And at Carmel, that's the place where Elijah proved that God always honors the sacrifice. He had been to the cave. He pined away in the cave, but that's where he learned to hear the voice of God. He said, I saw a fire, I heard an earthquake, I saw or heard the wind, but God was not in either. He was in the still, small voice. And Elijah had to get over himself. You know it? That's what, you know, we got too many church folk, when the man of God has a failure, we tuck tail and run. But I'll tell you from the text, he was what he was on Carmel, but whenever he heard what Jezebel was going to do, he said, let me sit here and die. And then he grew selfish. You know, preachers are people, right? Sometimes we get angry at the people of God. We say, they're the reason I'm here. If these old filthy sinning church folk wouldn't have cast down the altars of God and followed Baal, I wouldn't be here. God, I'm the only one in Israel who's followed you. Hello? But Elisha stuck by the man of God who learned to get over his own carnality, because in the midst of the cave, at the cave, God, the Holy Ghost, through the still, small voice, he told the prophet Elijah, don't you pine away and get your eyes on yourself. I have reserved 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I think I'm looking at a few today who understand that they're not going to bow the knee to Baal. No matter the season of spiritual decline, I know it looks hard, I know it's tough. I know sin takes its toll. But whatever you do, don't bow the knee. Don't bow the knee. And God, today, 2021, He's reserving the family. He's reserving the family. He's keeping those who have their eyes on Him. Men not of double heart who can keep rank. God says, I've reserved them. That's what Elijah knew, and that's why Elisha followed him. Church, follow faith. Follow faith. At the hardest time in his life, the one that the Bible says was operating in the spirit of Elijah, John the Baptist. In these times, in these periods of discouragement that men of God even face, we see him in the prison house. And church, if Satan's going to get you, as the book of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, it's going to be in the evil day. Satan's trying to steal the faith of the church right now. Are you here? I said Satan's trying to steal the faith of the church. But he said, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the helmet of salvation. Don't let Satan take control of your mind in a time of decline. Don't let him make you think the wrong way. God's on the throne, amen? The breastplate of righteousness. If he wants to get you, he'll get to your heart. But you have the breastplate of righteousness. He can't do it. But John, in the prison house, he pined. And you know what? It was so bad. He didn't even know if... You know the story. He said to messengers, "Why? Could you just go? I'm not even sure if he's even the Savior anymore." Follow faith. I'm not even sure if he's the one. That's when Satan gets us in the prison. But the messengers came to Jesus, talking about following faith. And Jesus told them, I know John is losing what once he had. He's pining away in the prison. But you tell John what you see and you hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Church, you need to be somewhere where they still believe the whole book. Oh, you're not shouting enough. If you go anywhere else, you won't make it. Hello? If you go anywhere, because Satan's going to hit you right where it hurts. And you're not going to know, John the Baptist, what to do. But Jesus, being the man of faith that he was, he said, you tell him what you see. You tell him what you hear. Follow faith. Follow faith. There was a woman who almost lost her way because her son was born with 26 diseases. Brother Shambach told this story, and I want to tell it to you. Someone asked him, Brother Shambach, what's the greatest miracle you've ever seen? He said, do you have 3 hours? He believed in this particular occasion that this was a time where God allowed him, God opened the veil and allowed him to see what he's going to do in the last day church. He said, we were in Birmingham, Alabama with Brother Allen when a young woman brought in a young boy, 4 years of age, who was born with 26 diseases. He had no male organs on his body. He was born blind and deaf and dumb. Did you hear that? Just to say it again, make sure you clean the cobwebs out. He was born with no male organs on his body. He was born blind and deaf and dumb. His tongue lay out of his mouth and rest on his chin. Both arms and legs were twisted and matted together. His elbows penetrated toward his little tummy. His knees touched his elbows and he had no feet. The mother brought that child in and he wrote the card out. That is Brother Shambach. He was preaching faith and she was there all week long. But the card was never called. And Shambach then said, sometimes, listen to this, sometimes we get in too big of a hurry. We run into church and say, preacher, lay your hands on me. But the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Sometimes we just need to sit down and hear the word taught. Remember Jesus? He'd sit them down and teach them the word. And we've got to get all those preconceived opinions and doctrines of devils that have been stuck there in our brains, and they need to hear the unadulterated word of God. The Holy Ghost used that woman sat there with her boy all week long for three services a day. She came from another city. The following Sunday, as Brother Shambach preached, she came to him and said, I've run out of money and my boy hasn't been prayed for yet. He said to her, I refuse to apologize for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost used Brother Allen in a different way. And every night he would minister in a different vein and he didn't call the prayer cards. But she said to Brother Shambach, I've been staying in a hotel buying meals and giving in the offering and I'm down to my last $20. Can you do something? He said, yes, I'll take that boy over to his trailer house tonight and make him lay hands on him if he doesn't call the card tonight. And he meant it. He would have done it. But that night, Brother Allen popped out on the stage and said, tonight, some of you know what this is, tonight we're going to take up an offering of faith. What's an offering of faith? An offering of faith, by that he meant he wanted the people of God to give something they couldn't afford. And the first thing he saw was that woman. She beat everyone down there. 3,000 people in the auditorium. She ran fast and threw something in the bucket. And being the nosy preacher he was, he jumped off the platform and looked inside. It was her last $20. She's in Birmingham, Alabama, and she lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, but she had to have a miracle. My Lord, some of you need a miracle today. Some of you are pining away like John in the prison, but you need a miracle. And I'm wondering, is there enough faith in the building today? Is there faith? Is there something in your heart that says, I can't quit. I can't stop. What have you been hearing? It's all over. I'll be this way forever. She would have given everything she could to have that baby healed. And Shambach said he started to pray, oh God, give me faith like that woman's got. But it wasn't 15 minutes into the sermon. A.A. Allen was preaching and he stopped and he said, I see a big building. This was how God used him. It's a big old white building. He said, it's no doubt where I am. I hear all them babies crying. It's a maternity ward in this hospital. He said, a little baby was born. I see 12 doctors around him. He said that baby was born with 26 major diseases. And when he said that, Shambach sat up and said, my God, tonight's that baby's night. He said, the doctor said the baby wouldn't live to see his first birthday, but he said, the doctor's wrong. That baby's approaching four. I see the mother stuffing in a suitcase and going on a trip. Another lady's with her. I see the baby in a bassinet, and it's in the back of an old Ford. He said, I see the Tennessee-Alabama border. He said, that car's pulling in on the parking lot. He said, lady, you're here tonight. Bring me your baby now. God's going to give you 26 miracles. I said, we still need the prophet Elijah. We still need the prophet Elisha. We need the same spirit today. And she ran down and brought him. 3,000 people stood to their feet. And I can sense the unbelief on the other side of the camera. I can sense the unbelief in some of you here today. But God is still a healer. I said, God is still a healer. He healed me when I was a boy. He healed me when I was a boy. Twice he did it. And he'll heal. He still heals. But I had to be around faith. Are you here? And where was it? I had broken my arm. My dad's told the story. But I was in church, the right church, this church. And that night, it was a Wednesday night, I was supposed to be in a cast for 8 weeks. And Brother Donnie came on the stage that night and he preached, but he shared a testimony that Brother Gabe had received a healing, that he was his leg, he had dislocated it, I believe, hyperextended it. He was out for the season. He began to tell the testimony how the Holy Spirit healed his son, the one and only Gabe. And I was standing somewhere over here, and my arm was broken. Incidentally, I couldn't play either. I was playing sports, playing basketball. But when I heard that testimony, my dad says he'd never forget it. He looked over in the congregation, and my hands were up as a five-year-old boy with the cast on my arm because I was following faith. And I said, if he could do it for him, he could do it for me. We went to the doctor's office. I was supposed to be in a cast for 8 weeks. 1 week later, he said, okay, you're good to go. He's a healing God. Follow faith. She ran down and brought him. The people stood to their feet, and he started to walk with that young boy, and he told everyone to close their eyes. Shambach said, not me, sir. I'm watching this one. He said the first thing he saw was that tongue laying on his chin, and it went in his mouth like a rubber band. Those blind eyes, you didn't know what color they were. Milky white, but whirlpools formed. Baby blue eyes in that young man's eyes. Next, the arms and legs began to snap, kicking out for the first time. He said, before them all, he saw God. Listen, he said, before them all, he saw God create feet on that little boy's legs. He said, it didn't stop there, though. When God healed that boy in that service that night, he said it was like a sergeant calling troops to attention. Over to his left, men stood up out of their wheelchairs, and they didn't need them anymore. He said, out of the audience, the elderly came rushing to the front to throw down their glasses. They could see. They didn't need their glasses anymore. And they took out their hearing aids. They were like radio transmitters in that day. They began to throw them on the altar. And here's what he said. By the time they left the building that night, every single person that attended that meeting was healed. Faith. Follow faith. You say, I don't think God does those kind of things. I remind you, when they walked out of Egypt, the Bible says, when they walked out of Egypt, there wasn't a feeble one among them. God's come to heal the whole family. Praise him today. The worst thing you can do in the midst of a decline is get around old prophets of unbelief. Follow faith. Dear. I said, he healed them all. He healed them all. Hallelujah. I still believe in a healing God. I believe he's a healer. Get in a church where they still believe in the book of Acts. Get in a church where they still believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get in a church where they're not there to give you a pep talk, but they're there to talk to you about faith, building up yourselves on a most holy faith. We can't afford to do anything else. We can't afford to be lied to. We can't afford to go the way of the world. Jesus is coming. I said he's coming back. And the spirit of Elijah always follows faith. The spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and worship him. By his stripes we're healed. Some of you came here, you need a touch in your body. Reach out and touch him like that woman with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Singers and musicians, come on back. I think God wants to heal us all this morning. I think God wants to restore us all this morning. Oh, Rabatila Rabako, let him fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. Let him do it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Believe him if y'all can't believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Hallelujah. 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 You get that song I told you earlier. He's a waymaker today. He's a waymaker today. Hallelujah.
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God.
We hope you enjoyed this live Resurrection Camp Meeting service from the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.